What happens when the faith you've built your life around suddenly stops making sense? This question haunts countless believers, yet remains taboo in many religious communities. For Peter Enns, the catalyst came from an unexpected source, a Disney movie. While flying home from an academic conference, he watched Bridge to Terabithia and encountered a scene where a young, non-religious girl innocently questions the harsh portrayal of God she heard in church. This simple observation hit Enns with unexpected force, making him realize he'd never truly examined what kind of God he actually believed in. Despite his theological education and position as a seminary professor, a child's perspective resonated more deeply than the punitive deity he'd accepted throughout his religious career. These uh-oh moments arrive uninvited through films, conversations, or children's questions, introducing instability to once stable faith. While frightening, they serve a holy purpose, breaking down religious systems that block questioning and growth. Churches, ironically, often become the riskiest places for spiritual honesty, where people suppress doubts until they eventually explode into crisis. The journey through uncertainty isn't a sign of weak faith, but often the beginning of a more authentic relationship with God, one built on trust rather than certainty. Why do so many Christians equate faith with having the right beliefs? This preoccupation reduces faith to sentry duty, constantly scanning for incorrect beliefs and defending theological territory. The problem isn't thinking about God, but confusing our thoughts about God with God Himself. This confusion becomes sinful because it keeps the Creator captive to what we can comprehend. We create mental idols when we trust our beliefs rather than God Himself. In many Protestant traditions, knowing what you believe becomes central, with churches functioning like schools where information transmission is the primary goal. This approach fails when life gets messy. As responsibilities, illness, crisis, and pain accumulate, lived experience contradicts what many know about God. True faith isn't defined by what we believe, but whom we trust. Like marriage, our relationship with God is based on commitment, not perfect understanding. While Christians often prefer uplifting psalms, the Bible contains numerous raw cries of spiritual abandonment. Psalm 88 stands as perhaps the darkest, ending with the psalmist directly accusing God of abandonment, claiming darkness as his only companion. These uncomfortable psalms weren't preserved as cautionary tales, but as valued expressions of authentic spiritual experience. Psalm 89 begins with 35 verses praising God's faithfulness, then dramatically shifts as the psalmist confronts reality. Jerusalem sacked, the temple ruined, David's line apparently ended. The writer boldly accuses God of breaking his promise, asking sarcastically how long God will hide forever. Yet remarkably, it concludes, "Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen." Similarly, Kohelet in Ecclesiastes confronts life's absurdity, portraying existence as meaningless cycles. His greatest despair comes from death's inevitability. We work hard, but take nothing with us and are quickly forgotten. Yet the book concludes, "Fear God and keep His commandments." When certainty vanishes, trust God anyway. Many Christians mistakenly focus on what they believe rather than who they trust. In biblical usage, believing isn't primarily about thought content, but about placing trust in God. When Abraham believed the Lord regarding descendants despite his age, the Hebrew word used was aman, which became our amen. Amen isn't merely a prayer-ending cue, but a declaration of trust. We've put this matter into your hands and trust you with it. Abraham didn't simply believe God could give him descendants, he trusted God to fulfill this promise. In the New Testament, pist's describes an all-in trust that manifests in action. Like leaning against a chair without questioning if it will support us, God desires this kind of unconscious reliance. Jesus illustrates this when telling followers not to worry about basic needs, comparing them to lilies and birds. When we truly trust God, worry becomes as impossible for us as it is for plants and birds. Life regularly challenges faith built on correct thinking. The Bible troubles many believers. From Noah's flood, where God drowns nearly all creatures, to commands for Israelites to exterminate Canaanites, Scripture depicts a deity who often resolves conflicts through violence. How can Christians condemn religious violence today when their sacred text depicts God commanding similar acts? Our scientific understanding of an unfathomably vast cosmos makes human existence seem insignificant. While the psalmist saw God's glory in the visible sky, today's believers must reckon with what Pascal called the eternal silence of the infinite spaces. Random tragedies demolish neat theological frameworks. The author describes joggers and children killed by falling tree branches, deaths so precisely timed they seemed orchestrated in their cruelty. These senseless deaths create the monotheist's dilemma. How can an all-knowing, all-loving God allow such suffering? Often, theological certainty is most challenged by encountering people different from ourselves. The author's conservative seminary worldview was upended by forming relationships with classmates from different backgrounds. Outsiders his theology had consigned to divine judgment, who proved to be kind, decent people. When doubt emerges through catastrophe or gradual complications, we instinctively try to suppress it. But doubt isn't faith's enemy. It only threatens when we equate faith with certainty. Doubt signals spiritual relocation, God's way of saying, time to move on. It dismantles false security, pushing us onto a lonely yet cleansing path. Doubt doesn't signal God's death, but our need to die to the theology we clutch tightly. Jesus asks followers to take up their crosses and lose their lives to find them. A cross isn't merely heavy, it's an instrument of death. Following Jesus means transformation so radical that crucifixion becomes the fitting metaphor. Mother Teresa experienced a spiritual dark night from 1948 until near her death in 1997, as her journals revealed. Yet during this period, she performed extraordinary acts of service, earning universal respect. Perhaps her dark night actually fueled her life as she continued forward through deep, inexplicable trust. When certainty dominates faith, we develop unhealthy traits: dogmatic rigidity, obsession with defining boundaries, fixation on winning arguments, and blind conformity. This defensive posture stems from fear rather than trust. Trust-centered faith embraces mysteries as opportunities for deeper relationship with God. It accepts faith's non-linear nature, approaches the world with humility, respects divine mystery, and formulates thoughtful questions rather than settling for easy answers. Our faith communities must create cultures of trust instead of merely preserving traditions. We need faith that remains open to the Spirit and welcomes critical thinking rather than clinging to familiar certainties. Paul's writing about being in Christ suggests an intimacy with Jesus that transcends words, a mystical connection that includes sharing in Christ's suffering. Perhaps our doubts aren't failures, but invitations to deeper faith, one that embraces mystery, acknowledges limitations, and chooses trust when certainty seems impossible. In releasing our need to understand everything, we might truly encounter God as God is.